Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Well, good morning. I hope everyone out there is enjoying the morning. I got to say, here in Houston, the weather has cooled down. You could almost wear a sweatshirt. It's very nice out. It doesn't get higher than the high 70s, low 80s. And if you're from Houston, you know that that's winter. Anyway, hope everyone's having a great day so far. It's the 29th of October. The year is just about over. I hope that everyone has accomplished some of the things they were trying to do this year. And I hope that, I hope they recognize how they can lean on the Lord to be able to accomplish the things that seem impossible. I mean, there's not a day that goes past in my life where I don't understand how things took place, good, bad, or otherwise. But I do know that I can get the help I need if I continuously have the faith in the Lord that I'm supposed to. Now, that's not always an easy action. For me, sometimes, you know, I get a little ahead of myself. And sometimes people get ahead of themselves, behind themselves. They waver. There's all kinds of things that happen in the noisy world we live in. And then if you throw in technology, the internet, and everyday life, well, we can develop a lot of excuses. One of the things I want to talk about this morning is every day I recognize how blessed I am. And, you know, I was able to, 2 years ago, write a book called Share Your Message with the World. And it's not written just by me. There was 27 other authors in it. And I'm real excited to find out that Volume 2 will be coming out in December. Now, the reason why I mentioned the book is not to sell the book, but just to sell the concept. I've gotten over 40 people to tell their journey in life, their story, how they got from point A to point B. I'm a speaker in network settings, and one of the things that I tell people all the time is no one really cares about the business you're in until they understand the person you are. So I really think it's important to share your message with everyone around you. Now, I'm not saying jump up on a soapbox and cry the blues, but what I am saying is you need to sit down and look back the journey of your life so that you can recognize how you've been empowered by God to make your way through things that you never thought were even possible. A lot of times we think that writing our story will empower others, and it will. But more importantly, it will allow you to recognize the miracles that have happened in your life, the things you've overcome. And when you get down to it, there's only one person there to help you get through all that, okay? I mean, it'd be nice to think that we had that much power, but at the end of the day, it's the Lord that brings us where we need to get to, whether we go kicking and screaming or we go willingly. So for me, I was able to share something that happened in my life that could not be explained any way differently than it was the work of the Lord. So it took me a long time to get there, folks. I'm 59 years old, and 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I found Christ. And I found him out of being desperate. And one day, I had the opportunity to have a pastor's staff pray over me for a miracle to happen. And my health was very, very bad. I was willing to do anything. I think I would have kissed a rock or a frog that day. But I did it out of desperate. And when I had the surgery 4 days later, 5 days later, and the chances of me coming out of the surgery weren't 50-50, they were more like a 40% chance. And what happened was whatever the doctor said to me was exactly what the pastor prayed over me. And of course, I made it through the surgery because that was 3.5 years ago. So for me, I couldn't help but tell people the miracle that I experienced. I went in believing. So if you're not there yet, it's okay. You can always find the Lord. He's available whenever you're ready. But some of the things you need to do is sit down and take note of what's taking place in your life, what's happened in your world, and how do you think it happened? And then think about this. If your children don't get to understand those miracles through your actions, then how are they going to receive it? How are they going to find out about it? Is it going to be somewhere in their life when they were in their 50s and they were desperate? Because that's not always, it's not always the best odds to wait until you're later in life. The sooner the better. Now, I learned that the hard way. But I hope that you will take time out to tell someone you know your journey. Write it down in a book. Write it in a journal. Have a conversation with your children. Now, a lot of times people say, well, my story is not that important. Everyone's story is important. You're going to find out today when we interview some of my guests that there's things that take place in life that we need to share. And we need to share it so it gives people the opportunity to understand that they can make it too. And it gives them the ability to understand if they tell their stories that they can do the same to others. It's a pay it forward type of thing. And after all, God wanted us to share the message. His words. You don't have to preach on the stage. You just have to live the act every day. And by telling your story will allow others to find their way through the darkness to see the light. So think about that. This week, think about the fact that, you know, what's happened in your life. Just let's not go too deep, all right? Let's just go back to last year. Now, not every day is, a box of chocolates, right? But the thing of it is, there has been days this year that have made you willing to participate in the rest of the year. So it's important to understand the value that you have inside. A lot of times we're busy laying in that puddle during the day where we are fighting our way through the day. But if you just stop and think about it, you've been there before. This isn't nothing new. You can make it through. And if you give it to God, you can make it through with a lot less stress. Now, the hard part is giving up the selfishness. I understand that. I really do. But I also understand on the days that I give it completely to God, I see results. On the days that I don't give it completely to God, you know, I give it to him, I take it back. I give it to him, I take it back. I struggle. But every day I try to be better at it, and before you know it, I will be better at it. I'll never be perfect at it because, well, I just wasn't built that way. Only God is perfect. So I hope you'll take time out today to reflect on some of that and look back at your life and thank God for how blessed you are. Even though right now you might be unemployed, not in the best health, in a situation you're not happy with, there's all kinds of things that take place. But one thing I guarantee you, there's other people in worse places. So be thankful for what you have, and don't think that you deserve more than what you have. And not only prayers will work, okay? I mean, praying is important, but stepping in the right direction is just as important. So take action. And take action this week and sit down and think about how it's been in the last year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Just look back over. If you get a blank spot, look at your children. Okay? Look at your marriage. Look at your job. Look at your career. Look at yourself. Talk to God about it. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every Monday. I'm sorry, every Thursday. I'm here Mondays too, but every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network. And the name of this show is Tough Talk Christian Radio. And I am real excited about today. We have a couple of guests on, a gentleman by the name of John R. Fogg out of Florida. And we have another gentleman by the name of T.K. Ware, so out of Georgia. So we're going to take a commercial break, and what we're going to do when we come back is we're going to bring up John Fogg. And, you know, he's written a book, By the Grace of God. And, he's got a great story, and I want everyone to know about it. So fill up your coffee, get another bottle of water, get a piece of paper, take some notes. Top of that piece of paper, I want you to write down, reflect on my life. Okay? Just reflect on your own life, the miracles that have happened that you don't recognize. Or maybe you recognize them, but that was a while ago. Nothing since has happened. Check it out. We'll be right back after the short break.
Lauren Dono is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjohnno.com.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone. You're on Tough Talk Christian Radio. And, well, got a great show lined up today. John R. Fogg, he has written a book called By the Grace of God. Let me tell you a little bit about John. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him in the past, so this is really exciting for me to have him back on the show because we never have enough time. He served as a Marine Corps fighter pilot for 20 years, and he's flew over 200 missions in Vietnam. He was selected as a demonstration pilot with the Blue Angels, graduated from the Navy Fighter Weapons School, Top Gun, served as a commanding officer. One of the things that I really find fascinating was, well, he was a mayor in Florida. I think he holds a record. I think he was there for over 14 years, longer than anyone in the city's history. So, in Pensacola, Florida, actually. So I want to welcome John to the show. John, welcome to the show. Good to have you back.
Well, thank you, Tony. I tell you, your monologue this morning was a perfect segue into my description of my life and how God was involved with it from a very early age with me, but I didn't know it. And it was late in my life that I finally realized, I began to reflect on a whole series of events in my life, whether it was the Marine Corps as a fighter pilot or Vietnam or the Blue Angels, and then later as the mayor of Pensacola, Florida. I realized that I put all of those a bunch of events together where it became very obvious to me that God was involved with my life and even when I didn't know it. And I know for sure that I wouldn't be here today had that not been the case. And so your comments this morning were exactly on point.
Well, you know, you've led a very very fascinating life. I guess that's a good word to use. It says in your book that you always just thought that your survival, was kind of like a result of luck or skill or combination of both. A lot of times, especially men, we're wired a little bit differently. We're a little slower than the women. Thank God that we have women around to keep us straight. But, a lot of times we just feel as though, we just plow through and it'll work. But there's times in our lives when things take place where we are kind of stripped of our powers. It's like the kryptonite for Superman or something. And we just don't have the ability to push forward. And it's kind of like God leads us that way. What happened in your life that made you come back or find the Lord?
Well, you know, Tony, it's kind of curious. I guess it was late or 1994 time frame, and all of a sudden I felt drawn to listen to Christian music, and I had never felt that way before, but it was very important to me, and I derived a lot from it. It inspired me. I didn't really know what was happening, and it really was the beginning of a spiritual awakening, where I began to be sensitive to the things that were happening around me. And what Christ said is that no one comes to me except the one that sent me draws them, and inexplicably that is what started to happen to me. And so, long story short, after a series of events, coincidences, and things that were clearly not coincidental, the emergence of a spiritual reality in my life that I could not explain. And then slowly and surely I was drawn to start reading the Bible, and I had read the Bible, you know, here and there over my life, but it never really had great meaning for me. And then all of a sudden, as I began to read the Bible, it really came to life to me, and I really began to understand what Jesus Christ did for all of us. He made the way passable. He made it possible for you and me and everybody else to have a personal relationship with God. We don't have to have a priest that we have to a go-between. Jesus' message to all of us was that if you ask Jesus to come into your life and you make him the model for how you try to live your life, then for me what happened was that I just realized that there is a continuum between the material world and the spiritual world, and I move back and forth on that depending upon the demands of the material world and depending upon how much I seek a personal relationship with God. And when you do that and you seek his purpose for your life, then if you surrender your ego and seek God's will in your life, then, as you said earlier, then there's a peace that comes with that. There's an appreciation of every moment of your life, whether it's good or bad, and you realize that God is working and trying to teach you something. And then I found myself just seeking the meaning of all those things that happen in our lives. I hope that makes some sense.
Yes. It totally makes sense. And a lot of times, like I said, you know, we're just plowing through life. We're boomers, baby boomers, and in our time of growing up, we were supposed to be the person in charge, take care of everything, make sure it all works, you know, be the leader, and just make sure you provide for your family, no matter what it takes, if you have to walk through fire. And that's not really the truth. What we have to do is depend on God to bring us through it and, you know, be a leader, but that doesn't mean we're in charge. And, you know, to take charge of our own self to control is hard. So a lot of times I think that, you know, when people write books like this here, it really helps people to be empowered to push through, because, John, you've had an incredible life. Okay, I mean, you've been, I think, married over 39 years, and I mean, that's a trophy in itself in today's world. But the thing of it is, what you did could not have been done all the way through your life if you didn't take this direction. And sharing this and writing it down, I mean, that has had to have allowed you to be so empowered to keep pushing through.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, Tony, you know, I didn't know what born again meant. I was kind of put off by people who claimed they were, because I hadn't experienced it. But it is absolutely real, and I came to know and understand the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and the book that you have in front of you is evidence of that. I felt absolutely. I mean, God has given me so many experiences when I should have died, or there's been other kinds of interventions that are less dramatic. But once I realized that, and I realized that it was God at work, and that it was Jesus Christ's message to us that allows a personal relationship with God, I felt absolutely convicted that I, by the Holy Spirit, that I needed to write all that down and share that message with other people, even if it only touches one other person and helps them come closer to God or realize that they can have a personal relationship with God. And that's part of the of what happens spiritually, I think. The other thing that I want to mention to you, and it's hard for us to, you know, wrap our minds around it, but one of the things that came to me as part of this spiritual rebirth was that, you know, Tony, there's the only thing that exists in anybody's life is this moment. And you know, our past is history. You can't change it, can't do anything about it. We think about the future, and you know, we think, well, something will be better in the future. And the reality of it is that in this moment we create the past. Everything that we do, every interaction we have, every communication we have, in an instant becomes our personal history, and our collective history, and our racial and human history. In every moment, that becomes history, and we can't do anything about it. And then the future we think of as something that we advance into, but in reality, what we do in this moment is create events, we create meetings, we contemplate doing things that are going to happen in what we call a future, and in reality, that those future events and that timeline recedes into our moment. So in this moment, and what happens is that we create the history, our history and our future simultaneously in this moment. And if we wrap our minds around that and realize that everything we do in this instant is creating both our future and our past, and if we do it within the context of God's will for our lives, our lives will end up being far better than anything we could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the way. That's no doubt. Now, John, I got a question for you. Do you speak to groups of people, maybe just even men, on taking this path to being able to walk in this, you know, this light?
Tony, I do. I have been doing that locally. I speak to groups every opportunity I get. I've been part of the Christian Businessmen's group, CBMC, and have been speakers at that group locally. I want to expand the opportunity to share my story with people everywhere and anywhere I can, and that's one of the reasons, and I appreciate so much you having me on your show. And if you can help me reach more people, I would be very grateful.
Well, I've been blessed that God gives me this opportunity to have this show, and you know, I just turn on. I'm just a tool. What you're doing is the real deal, and God will reward you for it, because, well, that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to share the word. And sharing the word of your journey with the Lord, I think that's the biggest part of it. We have about 5 minutes left here in the interview. I want to talk about something with you. You were the longest, you held mayor a chair a position in Pensacola, Florida. Okay, you served as a mayor for almost 20 years. How does that happen?
Well, I'll guarantee you that God was involved in that as well. And you know, partially, I think first of all, you have to be a servant leader. That's what Christ was. And if you approach life in that manner, people see that. If you're not self-serving, if you're in a political position and you're genuine and you make decisions for the right reasons, that make decisions that are in the best interest of the majority of the people that you represent, and if you do that day in and day out without being more favorable to one group or another, and you're consistent and you're absolutely fair in everything that you do, then people see that and they appreciate it, and that's not a typical politician.
Yeah. Yeah, and so now that you don't do that, do they come to you for advice?
some do. Typically, though, when you leave office, especially office of the mayor or the governor or something like that, the person that takes your place really has no interest in at least publicly involving a former mayor or former governor or president in the decisions that the new person makes. They want to establish their own identity, and oftentimes they run against the former person. So, and short answer to your question is that it's pretty rare that at least the current mayor would ever ask for my advice.
Yeah, because I mean it's hard to imagine that you got reelected, so you obviously must have been pretty good at what you do.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I had a master's degree in public administration. I've always had a lifelong interest in political involvement, and I enjoy there is no better place to be in government than in local government, because you have the ability to directly impact people's lives in a very real way, and if you do that well, it's very, very gratifying. And I don't know if we have time, but there was one quick story that while I was mayor, I was parking in the mayor's parking lot at City Hall, and a young woman who had three children, single mom, came up to me. She was desperate, and there was really, I asked her a few questions, and she had gone to all the agencies and that could possibly help her, and I felt compelled to ask her, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? And she said, no, I don't. And I asked her, would you like to? And she was at a place like you were, where she said, yeah, I would really like to do that. And I held her hand, and we prayed together, and in that moment, she came to Christ, and it changed her life forever. And I never would have done anything like that before. It was one of the most joyful moments of my life when that happened.
That's awesome. And, I don't think there's a dollar amount in the world that can make me feel better than that. And that feeling when you do that with someone, it's just, well, for me, it makes me emotional. It just wells me up. The whole spirit's just all over you. And it's just like God's asking you to be a partner on his team. So to me, it's just awesome.
Yeah. Well, it was a great moment in my life, Tony, for sure. And there's so many more. By the way, Tony, I did sign up to be on your program again next week, and I'm really looking forward to that, and I hope that we can do it many more times. There's so much to be told, and so much opportunity for people to have a so much better life and peace and really understand that God loves every one of us to a degree that we are not wired to even understand.
Yeah. Well, John, I look forward to having you back, because there's a lot of things that we can keep talking about. before we head out, I just let everyone know where they can find your book, how they can contact you. Now, I put it all over social media, you know, on Amazon and stuff. But if someone wanted to reach out to you and have you come speak anywhere they are located on this subject, or purchase your book, or, you know, be a part of things, let them know that information. And when you're done that, I want you to leave them with a nugget, a tip, something that could help them get through their course of action the rest of this year.
Okay, well, thank you, Tony. The book is available on Amazon.com. There is a Kindle version. There's an iBooks version. It's not generally available in big box stores nationwide. Hadn't been picked up. It's in local ones here. But it's readily available, and if anybody wants to contact me, you find me on the internet. You can find me on Facebook as John Fogg, F-O-G-G, and the book is By the Grace of God. So, if anybody out there needs a speaker, I'd be happy to do that. And you know, as far as a nugget is concerned, I would say this, Tony, that I was at the top of my game. I had an incredible career, 20-year career in the Marine Corps, and achieved things that even now I can't believe. And then served as mayor longer than anybody in history. I didn't have a personal relationship with God. I understand most people ask Christ into their lives 90% or more when they're teenagers, and I never did that. And so I began to realize that it was possible to have a relationship with Christ. I was drawn to Christ late in life, and at the very top of my game. I was, had just been appointed mayor, and life was very good. I wasn't in a crisis situation, and I guess that there, no matter where you are in life, that Christ and God wants you to know that, first of all, God loves each and every one of us. He wants the best for all of us, and if there's a nugget, is that we've got to somehow leave our ego behind, leave our egos at the door, and understand that it is possible to have a personal relationship with God that is the most gratifying, the greatest blessing you would ever have in your life. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life, that can occur. And that's really my message. And no matter where you are, that I want you to know that God loves you, that through Christ you can come to God, and this life will become a much better experience for you.
Well, John, I appreciate your time today. I hope that people will go out and get the book, By the Grace of God, by John Fogg, and it's F-O-G-G. And I look forward to having you back on.
Well, we'll see you next week, Tony. Hang in there.
All right, thank you. All right.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Folks, we're going to take a short break and come back with my next guest, T.K. Ware. John, he was raised in Albany, Georgia, and, he's got an interesting story as well. We're going to bring him back up. We're going to learn more about him. He's authored a few books. Very good stuff. Make sure to check out John Fogg's book, By the Grace of God. Type it in a Google search. Put Amazon behind it. You'll be able to get the book. Incredible story of a man who spent a lifetime in the military protecting our country, and another lifetime in his position in Florida protecting the community that he lived in, making some incredible decisions, and he puts it all to the Lord. So I hope that you'll go and check it out. We'll be right back after this very short break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And Tough Talk Christian Radio is a big part of Tough Talk Radio Network. Make sure to check us out at toughtalkradionetwork.com. Find us on social media under Tony Gambone or Tough Talk Radio. Just type it in the search bar. We'll pop up. We've been doing this a while. Super excited about my first guest, John R. Fogg, who, he's been back and forth on the show, and we're always excited to have guests back on the show because we just never get enough time. My second guest is a gentleman by the name of T.K. Ware, and he's out of Georgia, but let's bring him up and find out more about T.K. T.K., welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Tony. Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, what I'd like to do is find out a little bit about you and a couple of things. Where you're calling in from and where you're from originally?
I'm calling in from Troy, Alabama, but I'm originally from Georgia, Albany, Georgia.
Okay. What brought you to Alabama?
By way of an athletic scholarship. Back in those days, I was very athletic, and I earned several scholarships, schools in Kansas and a small college in Alabama, so I chose that route, not knowing that it was all planned.
Mm. So I'm reading here a little bit. You turned down athletic scholarships to school in Kansas and chose to continue education at a junior college in the state of Alabama while obtaining studies at a local college. And you became drawn to particular classes that promoted your creativity. These included psychology, English, and history courses, just to name a few. Now, you don't sound like the average athlete.
Well, my journey has been I have a peculiar journey. And when I turned down the scholarships in Kansas, I had two choices: either to go to school in Alabama right at that moment, or I had to wait 6 more months and I could go to a school in Kansas and everything would be laid out. And I was so eager to just leave, so I jumped aboard the first opportunity and I left. But you know, my mind was always advanced as far as, and I didn't really entertain or the collegiate lifestyle that a lot of the young people get caught off into, because when I came, I already had a relationship with Christ, so that my mindset was totally different from everyone who was on the basketball team.
How did you gain that? I mean, was that something that was placed on you at a young age, just in the environment of your family?
Well, to be honest, I was scared to go to hell.
That's great. So it was at a young age that must put that fear in you, because you know, young men today at the age of 18, I don't even know if they even recognize what that means. But so that had to be instilled in you at a young age.
Yes. And I remember this one particular guy. He gave me the first book I ever read. It was entitled The Divine Revelation of Hell, and I was curious about it, so I read it from page 1 to the end, and the book scared everything that was in me. And it's written by author Mary K. Baxter, and she shares her experience when she went to hell, and she's very descriptive of everything, and I could feel and I could visualize everything that she was saying. And at the end of the book, there was a prayer, and I read the book from front to back, and when I got to the end, I fell down on my face and I began to cry out to the Lord and ask Him to come into my life, and I began to repent of my sins and from that moment, everything changed.
That's awesome. I mean, you've been selected at a young age to do some great stuff. Now, I want to tell people they can find you at tk-ware.com. You've written a lot of books.
Yes.
So I imagine, going back to what I just read about school, that you were very much into English, and it inspired you into writing and being, you know, usually that does create speaking, a person that likes to speak, you're a motivational speaker, and it says that you do write poetry and do acting.
Yes.
Tell me about
yes.
this stuff. I mean, take me back. You got out of high school, you went to college. It seems like you just wanted to get there and move forward. But I'm sure, TK, that, you know, it just wasn't like you were, you know, walking on the clouds just because you were afraid
right,
to go
right.
to hell. Right? So there
right,
had to be
right.
some struggles.
Yeah. The first struggle, one thing about when I went to college, the basketball coach, I had no idea of out-of-state fees and things of that sort. I was just overly excited about going, and my family, they didn't understand it, so they fought me, and my mind was already made up, and I was believing God, and they could not understand because I was doing something that was basically unheard of. I was going to a different state with no family, no one, just me and my Lord and my Bible. And when I came over here and I began to talk with the coach, and he began to tell me that he doesn't have any scholarships. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's not the conversation we had. The conversation we had was there were. So all of a sudden there were no scholarships. So I remember returning home, asking my family for, I had to pay the tuition, and the tuition was quite expensive, and no one would help me. No one. And I remember the exact words of one of my family members, and their words were, let your so-called God help you, because I'm not giving you nothing. And so when I left Georgia that final time, I was like, well, Lord, I don't have anywhere else to go. I'm traveling to Alabama. I don't know anyone. I don't know where I'm going to stay. All I have is my luggage and this vehicle. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I drove back over to Alabama, and there was a guy I knew, and I stayed with him. And the coach constantly told me, he kept asking me, so what are you going to do? I don't have any scholarships available. And I had no idea. And I tried to find some type of work, couldn't get work. And there was a certain amount of days in which you had to register for classes. And I understood faith, and I understood that faith without works is dead. So I understood if I'm believing God for something, then it had to be a corresponding action to what I believe. So I simply believe something had to happen. If I'm all the way over here in Alabama, no family, they turn their backs on me, so I'm all alone. So I believe that something would happen. So the final day to register, I remember like it was yesterday, I woke up that morning, and I had to push out fear, and I understood that fear and faith cannot coexist. I had to push out fear, and I got dressed before everyone, and I grabbed my book bag, and I placed my notebook and a pen in the book bag, placed it on my back, and I went in my vehicle, and I drove up to the college. No one was there, and I got out of the car, and I pretended as if I had already registered. And I said, well, I'm just going to go sit in class. And at that moment, no one could have told me that I was not registered. I simply believed without a shadow of a doubt. And I started walking on the campus. And by the time I took my fifth step, someone called my name. And I looked back, and it was the coach. And he said, come here. He said, something just happened. A scholarship just opened up. And I was able to get a scholarship, and from that moment, when the Lord opened up a door like that, he allowed me to see and know that he is with me, that regardless of what I may see, that he's right there. And from that moment until playing on the collegiate team and the whole college life, I was kind of you know, people kind of, you know, shunned away from me because I didn't entertain in the things that most college students do, because I stayed to myself. There was even moments where, you know, some of the frivolous activities and parties, it wasn't my desire. So they would call me all types of names, not knowing that my purpose, you know, wasn't to engage in these types of things, but I knew I was here for a reason. And it was once I began to go through the classes and I began to find my purpose, and I joined a local church in Andalusia, and I met a pastor, and I began to go there. And this is the funny part. I thought I went to school for basketball, and I understood to a certain degree, and I understand now that God uses what you love sometimes to draw you. And so when I was failing the class, and I went to the counselor, and I asked him, if I drop this class, will it mess up my eligibility? And her exact words were, no, it would not. You're fine. So I said, great. I dropped the class. Now, basketball season about to start. At the same time, I was visiting a local church, and this church had a revival coming up. So when the basketball time was to start, the coach brought me to the office and said, you're not eligible. And I said, well, no, that's impossible. I talked to her, and she told me if I dropped that class, it would be fine. So he said, we're looking at the paperwork, and it says you're not eligible. So we need to go over there and talk to her. So we went over here and talked to her, and her exact words were, I never spoke to you. And I could not believe what was happening. Of course, I wasn't going to call her a lie, but that would have surely fit. And I looked at her and said, you told me if I dropped this class. And she looked at me in my face and said, I have never spoke to you about this. And to make that long story short, the fact that I was not able to travel with the team, I ended up going to a revival of this local church. And it was in that local church where God began to show me my overall purpose. And he began to raise me up. And he began to use me in different capacities in speaking and ministering. And from there, it just continued to evolve. So I understood that the Lord used basketball to draw me in so that he can birth that purpose within me. And it's from that church where I began to write and books and books, and had the opportunity to act in a movie and different things of that sort, in which the Lord, all I can say to God be the glory. And it has not been easy, but it has been worth it all because of the Lord.
Now, you were in a musical, a musical Christian film, Writing Christmas Cool.
Yes.
Okay. And when was that?
It was in Dothan, Alabama. That was maybe about a couple of years after I moved to Alabama. And one of the guys from the church, he knew of it, and he asked me and a few other guys, did you want to go audition? I had no desire, so I rode with the other guy just to support. And when we was there, we were sitting there, and there was a role, and he asked me, did I want to audition for it? And I said, sure. And the role was, I had to play a character who hated God because his wife died and his son go into church. And this particular character was an alcoholic. And I remember the directors and the producers, they asked me, the character needs to walk around as if he's intoxicated. Can I play that role? Well, that was an easy role for me to play because in my younger days, and I consumed many, which I understood why the Lord used me a lot, because I consumed my share of alcoholic beverages. I dropped out of high school. I did so much devilish things that when he delivered me and changed me, I remember this woman said, for someone like you to change, there has to be a God. And so when I tried out for the role, the producers, the directors were amazed, and they gave me the role. And I remember going to the movie theater in Dothan, and to see myself on the screen, words cannot even explain the feeling that were just sitting, that were just immense within me, just to see myself on the screen and everyone loving my role and different things. And that was one of the most precious moments in my life because of the journey in which I traveled, and to sit in a movie theater and watch myself on the screen. It was an experience that I will never forget.
So let me ask you, going back to your family who thought that you had lost your mind when you were going off
yeah.
to where you were going, and then you had to come back and ask them that question
yeah.
again. Of course, they were proven that you... What is,
yes.
are you connected with them now? Have they seen the
yes.
difference? Has it made them see a different light?
Exactly, yes. Because, Tony, in the beginning, now you got to just try to picture this young kid is getting ready to go off to college, and he's excited. And I remember getting ready to leave, and my father placed the newspaper up in front of his face as if he didn't even want to see me yet. And I remember my family... They told me that I was going to come to Alabama and I was going to die. So, I mean, so to, and I understand now even more so the power of words. And yet all of these negative words that were thrown at me, you know, for an average individual or someone whose mind is not, you know, secure, it could have really trampled them. And to hear this come from my family and no one, no support. And, I mean, literally, when I left Georgia, all I had was a few dollars in my pocket, my tank was filled, and I had my luggage. So all I had was faith. And that's all I had. And they couldn't understand. But over the months and the years, I remember my mother said, it was my second year in college, she said, "I see, so you still hanging in there with that Christianity thing?" I said, "Yes, I am." And before I knew it, she had changed. And so now they understand. So now they call me and ask me to speak to soul, speak to this person or speak to that person. Because if they had not known God, they know based on their son's life that there has to be a God because of how I once were and the change and transformation they saw with their own eyes. And it wasn't easy, but it was all worth it.
So you broke the chain in your family history. And
yes.
I don't know, I'm sure you've recognized that, but I don't think you've have yet been able to experience the ripple effect of that as time goes on and on into more decades of family history. I mean, that to me stands out just strongly. So congratulations on that. And I mean, I'm inspired by what you've done, because when the odds are against you, especially at a young age, I know at an older age, it's easy to give in, but you hung in there. So it's the power of the Lord that really speaks here. Now, you've written fiction books, nonfiction books. You have a CD music. So you write a lot, right? And you've had many people endorse your books and different things, comment on your books. The latest book, I believe, is The Pastor's Daughter. Is that correct?
Yes, 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 yes.
What makes you come up with these books?
Well, here's the thing, Tony, and I told everyone the same thing, and some people understand, some don't. I never know what I'm going to write. I never know the title. The Lord, sometimes it's by dream, or sometimes someone walk by me, and just as if I'm talking to you, I can hear a title or come real. It's like a subtle voice that I can hear a title. And the moment, as soon as I sit down and place my pen on a paper, it's as if an image falls down before me. So all of my book, I simply write what I see. So all of my fiction stories, there's a biblical scripture that sums up the story. And every fictional book I have, it was given to me by vision, and I simply write down what I see. And in my nonfiction books, I never know what I'm going to write. I never plan. I never do an outline. I never do any of that. I write, and whenever the vision stops, I stop. Sometimes I go back to it. Sometimes I don't. But I never plan it, and it always happened just like that. And the pastor's daughter, when I remember I was sitting at home, and when that title struck me as a pastor's daughter, I don't know what I'm going to write. And so I had no clue what it was going to be about. And the moment I started writing, I couldn't stop. It was as if somebody was whispering in my ear. And it was later on that I found out that that particular book was the reality for someone living in the same city. And I was speechless. And I can only pray.
God has a funny sense of humor. At least I think he does. He's always allowing us to participate in something we had no idea we were going to be involved in. I've authored a couple of books, and, you know, I never felt as though I was anything close to being a writer, you know, but I'm a storyteller, so it's the same thing, kind of, you know. And so when I go out and speak, people stand in line and talk to me afterwards and tell me what a great job and what a great speak it was. And I always look over to my wife and say to her, should have recorded this because I have no idea what I said. It was God speaking through me. I could have never been that smart.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand what you're saying. This is awesome, man. What's the next step? What's coming up next? What can we tell people that they can join into what you're doing next?
Well, the next step, we have a big event in Albany, and this is going to be probably one of the biggest things I've ever committed to. I'm actually having a book signing and a speaking session in Albany, and so this is my... In front of Albany is maybe 80% of my family. They have no idea about my books. They don't even know I write books. So this is going to be their introduction, not only into the gift God has given me, but also an introduction to God, because they're going to be speechless when they see the different books. So we have that event coming up this in November, and we have a few other books coming out, and I have another one with an international best-selling author. So we have a lot of projects coming out, a lot of projects. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we do speaking engagements as well. So we simply, the biggest thing on all this, I normally put the things on the website. So we have several books coming out before the year is out. I think it's about 10 before the year is out.
Well, I hope that you will take some time out and bless us with you on the air with us again after you do the Albany thing. I would just like to be a fly on the wall to watch, because I know how family is. You know, we love them dearly, but they think, or they assume, they know who we are. You know, and when we come back around, and then the look on their face. Well, between that and the nervousness that you're going to have getting up on the stage, you know, because this is the debut, right? So I'd love for you to come back and share that with us after you do that.
I definitely will. Definitely will.
All right. Well, Deke, I'm sorry to say we're out of time, but I really appreciate the fact that I've been blessed to have this opportunity to talk to you and you know, when someone breaks the link in the chain, man, that's just powerful. I hope that you are able to go back and speak to students playing basketball, and I think that going back to your hometown will really make an impact. So I just want to say, bottom of my heart, thank you for blessing us today with your appearance.
Thank you for having me on. The honor is all mine.
All right. We look forward to having you back, man. Have a blessed week, and good luck. I don't think you're going to need it. I think you already got the spot saved up. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Folks, we're out of time. Once again, as always, I run out of time, and we can't recap. But I hope that you'll go see John Fogg on Amazon and TK Ware as well. Get the books. Check it out. These guys are doing some great things. They're sharing the Lord's words. I hope everyone has a blessed week. See you next week. We're out of time.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.